All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Transition 2 in the fall. That's what we're going to be talking about
fall
today.
Fall transition 2.
Yes, transition 1 is in the books. Now we're going 2. Because there's so much to talk about. Actually, when we're doing 1, I think we're going to start talking about slabbing because that's kind of the fall bite leading
into
it.
Well, we were rolling right into
it.
Yeah. And natural progression.
I know. And then you're talking about, okay, the night trolling. So if you didn't listen to 1, listen to that one.
Yeah, you got to listen to 1 before you listen to 2.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. And it's called fall progression.
Or listen to 1. 2, 1, 2. I mean, I don't know. It maybe takes, I don't know.
Dude.
I know.
We got to keep him away from the Bud Lights while we do this.
Heads up, everyone. Brad's in a mood today.
Yeah, I am.
He's in one of those,
Bud
those
Light
days.
Bud Light night.
Yeah, Bud Light night. That's right. That's exactly
and,
what it is.
And we're coaching football.
Yeah.
And it was 5 touchdowns to 6 yards.
Yeah.
We won.
Yeah.
So, pretty good night.
And a torrential rainstorm.
Yes. So, anyway. So, transition 2. What are we doing right now? So now we're going to start talking about in our neck of the woods. It's starting to get dark, like 7:15, 7:30 maybe, 7:15. The water temperature's cooling. Like we talked about in transition 1, the walleye relate to water temperature. But they really, I think that they really relate to sunlight.
Yeah, the amount of light that goes, you know, that's up.
Yeah,
and how much the light transitions for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely.
Yeah. And the water temperature now is starting to pull back from that. Low 70s, high 60s. Now we're starting to drop down to that lower 60s, mm-hmm. You know, it's 63, 64.
You're not getting into the, we're not talking all the leaves are changing.
No, we're not in that. It's still, you know, you're still getting days that could even be in the upper 80s or maybe 90s every once in a while, but your nights are cooling down into the 60s or 50s or even colder if you're in the UP of Michigan or
whatever it is.
Canada, A.
Well, know, and what I kind of look at is about the time that the deer lose their velvet.
That is true.
You know, it's not the rut yet.
No.
Because the walleyes, you know, that late fall.
Right.
That's going to be time. That's going to
be
fall
you hunters,
three.
Get off
I don't
the
think
lake.
It's transition. That's going to be fall one,
yeah.
fall two,
yeah.
fall
all
three.
You, all you hunters, get off the lake and go hunt. And leave me in the water all
we
to
do
myself.
Both. Yeah. You sit at home tying spinners. I'm not going to go there. Never mind. I had a whole visual.
Yeah, no, but you're right. I think it is. It's funny because we were laughing about it last year. Remember, we're like, well, fishing season's about over, hunting season's starting. All the Instagram pictures, everybody's posting pictures of their stands and their, you know, all
they're
this
scouting.
Other stuff.
Where
they're scouting.
But that's in fall
bite,
not transition. So
well, but it's getting close because what?
They're
I
getting
think
archery out
starts
here,
in like
elk.
What, like 2 weeks or something.
So
anyway. Everybody's starting to do that. But
so what are we doing now? Now we've been fishing. So in transition 1, we talked about the night bite. If you're able to get out and go night trolling shell. We're talking about...
Well, trolling shallow is suspended. I mean, they're suspended over 60
well, I'm assuming
or whatever.
They listen to 1.
Yeah. Well, but if they didn't...
We just told them 2.
Well...
Okay. You know. So anyway, so
giving a lot of people a lot of credit.
Trolling shallow, not trolling, trolling shallow in over deeper water. That's starting to die down. So that's starting to die down a little bit, right? And you're starting to see like... We do pretty good in the daytime when there's still pretty good light, you know, pulling bouncers like death or spinners.
Well, I think that's starting to slow down in transition
one. So now you're starting to see that shut down.
Yep, that bite is starting to kind of fall by the wayside.
Yes, you're still getting smallies doing it and stuff, but...
Well, the walleyes are starting to congregate even more.
Yeah.
It's even more so.
So tell me where they're congregating.
Well, a lot of times it'll be deeper structure.
Yep.
You know, mid basin humps. And,
right.
And breaks and stuff.
Right. Now, that water temperature in that area is more consistent. So that's why they're in the, you know, if you're thinking, well, why are they deeper? Like, that makes no sense. It's not hot anymore. Why are they deeper? That water temperature at that 20-foot...
It's stable.
I mean, it's consistent all the time. And the bait's there because...
Why the bait's there is because the water's stable. So then, of course...
Because when the water's turning up top, you start seeing the shad start to die off a little bit because of those heavy drops in water temperatures.
Yeah. Yep. And so you'll start to see some of that die off and the bait die off and stuff. And so that's definitely a big clue. If you have a lake that has shad and they start to see them floating, that, you know, man, we're still, and you still will get that, lead core or snap weight bite trolling cranks, you know, in the fall during the day a little bit, but not
suspended,
as much.
Not suspended.
Well, maybe a little. I mean, I've but got not them
that,
suspended.
Not that 3 foot, like we're talking about at night.
Maybe no, not at night, but deeper. I mean, you'll get them more like 25 feet, maybe over 40 or 25 feet over 60 or something. But it's still not as much. Mm. If you want to get into the action, you're going up and you're looking for those. You first off, electronics is paramount here. And for the shore fishermen, I don't know what to tell you, but this is where you kind of have to be out.
Find a deep break where it gets deep
exactly,
quick.
Exactly.
Yep. Or fish at night.
Fish at night. Because you still can get the fish at night. But you got to push out and you find those fish. And when you start to find them, minor adjustments can make all the difference. I mean, you can slide 3 feet and hammer them, slide three more feet, and you're gone.
Yeah, I mean, you're driving over those humps or those holes even. Sometimes they're sitting down in holes. Mm-hmm. That's why electronics are so important. And all of us run Lowrance, but whether or not you're running Hummingbird, Garmin, Lowrance, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. What you're comfortable with, you find those things stacked up, put the brakes on, and start working them. And what we're working with, I know at least me and Mitch, and Josh, me and you too, when we've been together, you're going to start doing that slabbing bite. Now, what is slabbing? There's multiple things that you can do with slabbing, right?
Sure.
I think that we do a lot of, we like the jig and wrap type baits, like the glide baits, the puppet minnows, the jig and wraps, the shiver minnows work good.
Yeah, you can use those vertical too.
And then blade baits work really good.
Blade baits work really well.
Or just regular lead spoons, they work good. Yep. And what do they all have in common though? You're parked over fish. You're working them really. You're not working the bait slow. You're working that area really slow.
No, and I always look at it like the precursor or the prelude to ice fishing, right? I mean, it really is kind of like that. You're parked over the fish and you're vertically jigging up and down like you would through an ice hole, and you're doing it from the boat. I mean, and you're doing that same type of jigging. I know guys that use ice fishing rods and do it. Because it's just easier. They can hold it with the one hand. They do that whatever grip you ice fishermen do, and off they go.
Whatever grip you ice fishermen do.
Let
me ask you this, Junior. when you're vertical jigging in fall transition two time frame, and say you've got a shiver minnow on your vertical and you're 40 feet of water, you're marking fish, they're there.
Yeah.
You're going after them. Do you have your finger on the line or do you not?
Like our little poll we did on Facebook.
Boy, that drummed up some conversation.
Yeah. You know what? I don't have my finger on the line because I like to use a bait casting reel with a flip and switch. So I use that flip and switch so I can just hit it and let it off and it automatically closes. And I do all of mine like that. And I do everything like that. So there's no option to put my finger on the line.
Well,
but I know you guys like using spinning reels.
Yes.
Totally. But, you know, I think it's a kind of a different jig bite too. I get where some people might want their pointer finger on the line to feel the bite. But with what we're doing now, slabbing.
They hammer.
It's you're not going to feel a little tick, tick, tick.
Nope. Not that little electric. No.
Where you're going to know.
Yep.
Oh, and then you want to break their neck.
Yep. And they hammer. I mean, and it feels like you're setting it into a log, you know, thunk, and then you boom, 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 you know, then you know you have the fish. But I used to hate fishing like that. I mean, because it was just, I was never very, you know, successful in the fall because I fished from shore mostly.
Well, and here's the thing. It's a little bit intimidating because they are hard to find. But once you find them.
Right. I
was the same way. Yeah. I mean, we all had that learning curve to
absolutely.
Early fall bite.
And I think fall, you know, we got football, got hunting. You know, it's hard to fit in the fishing, you know, unless you're really just into fishing like we are.
Yeah, you know, you know, I mean, fall was just such a busy time. And if I was younger, I was going back to school. I was playing sports. I mean, just fall kind of fell by the wayside. You know, it wasn't until I got older when I really could throw some time at it and then got a boat, got some electronics. Then it all started to kind of make sense, right?
Sure.
And I even found fall bites where once you found them, I could get them on a half a crawler and a 3/8 ounce jig head.
Sure.
And drop it straight down and just, I mean, it would barely even get to the bottom and they'd hammer it. Just bam.
When you find them just piled up.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. But that is another great example of how if you slid slightly one way or the other.
5 feet.
Gone. I mean, the fish were gone, and the fish weren't gone. You were just off.
Yeah, because they're not chasing.
No, so it's real important that you use those waypoints. It's real important that you use that anchor and you know where you anchored, because you will slide off, especially
now, when we talk about anchoring, our anchoring, we all have the Minn Kotas
I have the XI5.
Yeah, it's the motor guide. Yeah, the motor guide, but it has that anchor lock.
Oh, the anchor lock.
So it holds you like within like a 3 foot radius, something like that. So you can really stay on top of those fish. And you know, the fish do slide around a little bit. They're not just all hunkered down right there, but it's important to try to stay on the fish. If you're marking a pile and you're slabbing them and they leave, they might only went 20 feet. Start cruising again. Jogging, there you are.
Jog left, jog right. Just look for them. Yes. Because, well, and I call it the wolf pack, right? So it's a wolf pack feeding mentality. They're all in that pack down there. You just have to, if you stuck it right in the middle of the wolf pack, man, there's a good chance you're going to get bit.
Competition.
Just, whoa, right there. They're on it, right? If you're off to the side, the wolf pack may not even care. It's too much work.
So let me ask you guys this, because this is something.
I think before we get into that, though, I want to talk about...
Oh, here he goes interrupting you again, dude.
Mitch, do you
feel like a stepchild?
You know what? No. I'm looking.
You look like one.
I'm looking at the timer, and we're 10 minutes in, and I want to talk about PonchoOutdoors.com.
Let's talk about PonchoOutdoors.com.
See, it's PonchoOutdoors time.
It's Poncho time.
It's Poncho time. It's Poncho time.
So PonchoOutdoors.com. A few weeks ago, Josh, we've had the shirt before, right? But you got a new one.
I got a new one. I got one of their new releases. Being a Poncho Outdoor fan, they send us some things first, so... Got a new shirt and like it. It's great.
Yeah. What's really good about it is, and we've talked about this in other podcasts, is just the fit that it has for both big and small guys. Yeah. And for sure, big guys fit it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you know what? I'm really big on this because we spend so much time on the water. I spend so much time on the water that I'm always, and Mitch is too, we're sunscreen fools. And what's nice about these shirts is they do have that protection, that UPF 50. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it just keeps you safe on the water, right?
Well, I didn't really notice it up until I put it on, but for the guys that fly fish and the guys that are fly fishing guides, they have a great kind of a chest pocket that's vertical.
Well, the magnet ones or the ones off the side to the left?
It's a zipper. It's off the side, and you can put your hand in, kind of great to hold your tippets or a small container of flies or something. I mean, you can just slide it right in there. You don't ever have to get off the water. You know, you don't have to come out of the stream. I mean, it really is. That shirt's designed really for the Western fly fishing. The one I bought, the model I bought is that Western.
I think they work good for the guide shirts too, just because if you're going to be out there. So anyway, PonchoOutdoors.com, check them out. And if you use the promo code All Eyes Fishing,
get a free hat.
Free hat.
Free hat.
That's perfect. And they got 100% guarantee. Send it back if you don't like it, but you're not going to send it back.
Nope.
So anyway, Mitch, your story, what is it?
Well, I was curious. So say you're watching your sonar and you see a wolf pack.
Yep.
Let's just call them wolf packs.
I like that. I mean, it really is a good
thing. We should trademark that.
You know.
That's probably not
the legs feed the wolf. So, do the fins feed the wolf when we're talking about it? Never mind. You had to see the movie.
Anyway, is that a Minnesota thing?
No.
Stupid. It is actually.
Dumb.
Anyway, you guys. So, say you see your wolf pack. They're all there, perfect arches. You couldn't draw it better on your larynx.
Right.
And you drop down. And nothing.
Yeah.
What do you do? How long are you going to sit there and work that pack? What are you going to do? Are you going to just sit there and be, I'm going to make them bite.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to work them until, I just get, they're going to get some concentrated effort because it is that almost more of a reaction.
Well, okay. So I get that. I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
But would you just stick with that same bait?
No, I'm switching. No. And if I'm doing it, I have that arsenal laid out, right? I've got, since I do like to use the different reels and the combos and like what you guys do, I have four of them and I'll set them all up with the different. I'll have a glide bait. Mm-hmm. I'll have a blade bait. I'll have a jig and spoon or two types of jig and spoons. And I'm rolling through. Rolling through until you do it. And then if I get real crazy and I'm feeling real coordinated, I'll do one off each side. And I'll use both hands. And we'll start to see what happens.
Yeah. Here in Colorado, we get to fish with two rods.
Right.
You buy a second rod stamp. Right. But like in Minnesota and a lot of other states, you can only fish one rod.
Sure.
Well, I tell you what. Here's one thing that I took from ice fishing. And I kind of applied it vertical jigging like this with just a Castmaster. And
which, by fishing, the way, is basic but really effective.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. It's like a Coca-Cola Daredevil.
Right.
I mean, you better have one just because you need
it. Everybody does. Yeah.
I'm a bigger fan of the Chrome. For some reason.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Chrome Castmaster.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking Daredevils. You know, and the great thing about those Daredevils is if you don't catch any fish on them, they're perfect to put in your mount, right? It seems like everybody you walk into their house in the Midwest, they've got a Chrome or the
hanging.
Coca-Cola Daredevil hanging out of the salmon mouth or something. So anyways.
ice fishing. I take off that treble a lot. I'll have a setup like this and put on probably a 3-inch dropper of fluorocarbon to just a single wide gap hook. Just like what I use Lindy rigging on my bait rigging in the spring.
That's a good tip.
Then. Well, I tell you, it kind of goes into, say they are a little negative for whatever reason, or not chomping, you know, and you're hammering them like you do a lot of times at this time. Nope, just that little subtle. So just like with ice fishing,
it's almost short striking.
You've got that Castmaster doing a lot of action, vibration, noise, and everything. Might bring them in close, but you put a minnow head on that bear hook,
an eyeball or something.
I'm telling you, just that little bit of scent. That a lot of times that's all it takes, and they're gonna bite.
They're gonna go after it. You know, and I've also noticed too. It's important for guys to vary their how aggressive they are with their jerking it up off the bottom. So if you have that school of fish, that wolf pack, and you're not getting it right, if you ever notice the guys, you change it up big time. So I mean, it's you're only going 2 inches and it's sharp, boom, 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 and that bait is just barely coming up and dropping down, barely coming up and dropping down. You will notice a lot of guys who do that will be more successful when it's a little bit tougher.
Oh, it goes right into that.
The big one, then coming up a foot or 8 inches or something.
So again, ice fishing in crystal clear water, you know, you can see it. Say you're not too deep. I can see what's going on. I can look down my hole and watch. Right. Or underwater camera. I've seen it. And I'll tell you what, most people, I think that's a mistake they make is they go
overdo it.
Over jig.
Yep.
And it's not natural. It's not what we're replicating is a dying shad, a bait fish that's struggling. It can't even hold itself upright, but it'll have a fleeting what a perfect, you know, prey for a walleye.
Right.
And that's where people overdo it. I think it's amazing if you could see really what your bait's doing.
Yeah.
When most people are jigging, you know, 2.5, 3 feet.
There's times you do that though.
Let's talk setups real quick. Let's talk setups. So if it's like it is now, we're getting close to moving into fall. Let's talk setups real quick. Rods, what do you guys use?
I'm still using a 6.5-foot spinning reel.
My jigging set. Medium, my vertical
medium,
jigging
medium
set.
Light, medium heavy what?
Medium.
Medium.
Okay. Medium fast medium. Tip.
So basically your typical jigging. Mm-hmm. And I'm using the medium action, but I'm doing the flip and switch, the bait casting reel. Mm-hmm. But same type of action.
What do you have spooled up on those?
That's a good question. I like using 12-pound or 10-pound fire line. And then I have a leader. Most times it's fluorocarbon, and it'll be probably 10-pound fluorocarbon. And
I tell you what, in some of the lakes around here, I agree with you 100%. Usually I'm going with that 10-pound fire line, right? That's just what...
10 or 12. I mean, it just depends what I have on from doing using those rods for other stuff.
Hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but we switched over to... Ultra 8 fire line this year.
Oh, you did?
First year, because we cast so much and we're, you know, the regular fire line would fray so much. Check it out. Mine doesn't have a fray in it.
Yeah, no, I switched to that probably like last year, I think, is when we first got some. Yeah. And that ultra or carrier or whatever it is, that
much
really,
better.
Yeah, much better. It keeps it from fraying, especially because, that hook is, you know, everything's going up and down that line. And a lot of times it will get caught on the line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the fire line, it used to almost go through, right?
Mm-hmm. It did almost go through it. It'd nick it.
Nick it and everything else. But, okay, so you do that. So let's start talking some spoons.
But before that, so no, in stained water, I direct tie it.
And you can.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when it's clear, and we've talked about it sometime, how spooky are they?
Right.
I think that you do what's made you successful. So you, when you have fish that... you seem the bites a little bit slower. You go to that fluorocarbon to make it a little bit more natural, a little bit less noticeable the line. But when it's stained or the bite's on, dude, I am telling you, just straight tie fire line.
And a lot of times I will put on a size 21 or 20 or 22 swivel. Tiny, 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 tiny swivel. And I will tie my fire line and my fluorocarbon to that swivel.
How long of a fire line are you? I mean, leader are you using?
18 inches.
Oh, small.
Yeah, because
2 feet.
Yeah, if 2 feet, because I'll tell you what, that those glide baits and the blade baits. I mean, all in the spoons, they're down there twisting like crazy. Yeah. And if you're not careful,
you're right.
Can get yourself a pretty good mess going. So I will put that tiny, tiny swivel. I mean, it's so tiny it'll go in your eyelets if you need it to. But if you're only using a couple feet, it doesn't matter anyways. You know,
here's how I battle that, because I know exactly what you're talking about. If you're pumping those glide baits.
Oh, they're going every which way.
They're going every which way. So, but I am checking my bait probably every minute or so. I'm calling it jigging or slabbing. And then I reel it up, take a look at it. And when I leave it, when you reel it up out of the water, if you don't have one of those teeny swivels on there, reel it up, leave about 3 foot on the water.
Spin. Helicopter.
And just let it helicopter. You're checking it if it has any weeds, and then put it back down.
Put it back down. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about spoons real quick. One of my favorites, Bass Pro Strata Spoon. It looks like a giant hunk of nothing.
I know. Why does it work so good?
They just love the damn thing. I mean, you will walk by that 100 times in Bass Pro and think, what the heck, right? Yeah. Like, who's going to buy that thing? I've got a whole box full. I mean, just all different types. White, you know, green. I mean, I love them.
I think that's a predominant spoon that we're going to be using. Now, how about for blade baits? I like the Bass Pro XPS.
The Bass Pro XPS are the best blade baits. So that and in the Hebron.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's how it is.
Yeah, Hebron. I think that's what it is. Those are great. And then the Castmasters are still a good choice. And then there's a bunch of them. Some of the Real Image ones, even the Cabela's brand Real Image ones are fairly decent. I like to use enough weight. There's nothing worse than trying to fish
vertically. That's a problem that guys have.
Is because try to go too light.
Well, see, and here's the thing. When you're marking those fish, you might find them stacked in 25, and all of a sudden they're gone. The wolf pack is gone, and now you're finding them in 38.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is have to retie because now you had too light of a spoon.
Absolutely.
It doesn't seem to matter to go a little bit heavier in a spoon. Unlike a jig
bite.
Unlike a jig bite when you're casting, you want to try to go as light as possible to feel the jig bite, right? But not in spoons. I haven't noticed that. No, I would go a little bit heavier because you're going to be working anywhere from, let's just say that 25 to 40 feet. Now you are able to accomplish the same
thing. If you go too light on your fluorocarbon, it will get caught on the hooks more. Yeah. The stiffer fluorocarbon keeps it more straight up and down. It doesn't let it loop up as easy. So that's another little trick. I go at least 10. Sometimes I like to go 12. I don't think it makes much of a difference. It's a reaction strike. And they're expensive. I'm going to try to, bend that hook, get that sucker off the bottom long before I break it off. Yeah. So
Brad and I fished a tournament down at Ute Reservoir down in New Mexico years ago now. Mm-hmm. But in the bait shop, the local bait shop, it sounds like that reservoir gets a hot December slab and bite.
Which is true a lot of places. Lake McConaughey in Nebraska does the same.
Yeah, yep. So it never gets ice, of course. But so it turns on, it sounds like, in December, which we need to get down there and give it a try.
We were a few weeks early.
Yeah, in the bait shop, they had these custom spoons. Who knows? And they're made by Farmer Jim, down the road. But they're like painted white glow. These things probably were an ounce and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, they're thick. And pretty good size, kind of like a shape of a football, but kind of concave. Yeah,
a little bit concave,
little bit of a bend. Yep. But that's the hot ticket right there.
Yep.
Well, they work here too.
Yeah.
They're heavy.
And isn't it funny? You can find those spoons at these little places that are not really name brand, kind of obscure. But with spoons, usually if they work one place, they're going to work another.
They are.
I think we can, we have some friends of ours that pour spoons, right? Yep. That we all know. And, they don't look like much. They're not painted super great. But you just hammer fish on them. Everywhere I've gone.
And that's the key. What you really want to do is just catch fish.
Right. Right.
So don't get wrapped up in that
$12
spoon.
Right. Now let's talk real quick before we got to go. Presentation. I like to go about 0.4. 0.3, 0.4 is about what I like to move.
If you're searching,
especially with a glide bait, I really like vertical. I don't like shivers as much vertical as I do jigging wraps or even ripping wraps. I like going that vertical and that.
If you're going to be moving, that 0.3, 0.4 is premium.
Yeah, but that's kind of the best speed. It kind of keeps your line.
If you get too far out,
it's a tough deal. Yeah.
Yep. And the thing that's good about that too is when you're searching an area that has pockets of fish.
Yes.
Once you get on them, if you're only going 0.3 and you hit your anchor, bam, yep. you're right on them. You can work those fish. Right. Once they move, you start searching for them, and you're still using that glide bait yep. at that 0.3. 0.4 mm-hmm. is like on the high end.
Right. And let's be, this is a great thing to keep in mind is you, the three of us have seen it. We have this one little secret hump that we fish in one of our lakes here, and we start around the edge. Or on top, because that's where the fish will sit. Mm-hmm. But then it flattens out. So it's only about a 4-foot tall hump, but then it flattens. And how many times do we, if we don't get the fish on the hump, we start hitting that flat,
oh, yeah.
and we start just branching on that flat and bigger yep. circles around it. That's something to remember is, as we start going closer to fall, those fish are going to start to move off some of this structure, and they'll be in wolf packs out in the flats, too. Yep. And so if we start to search those flats, all of yep. a sudden, man, you know, I've got a fish. Mitch has got a fish on the other side.
Well, there's several times that we'll go out for 3-4 hours, and the first hour and a half, we're searching. We're like, where are all the fish?
Yes.
And then you find them, and all of a sudden, you had a 50-fish day. Yeah.
I was
you
know just I mean? Going to say... Electronics. It's the key right now.
Yep. And I put my, I don't like always keeping my path on, you know, on your Lowrance, on your map. It just, it'll clutter up your map and you can't quite see some stuff.
Oh, your trails?
Your trails. And, but I put it on for this.
Hey, here's one other thing. And this happened to me. So I got on some fish, drifted off, you know, I caught one or whatever. The wind blew me off of it. Yeah. So I went back for it, you know, right on my waypoint. Well, guess what? And then I wouldn't get any fish. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Sure enough, I zoomed in my map.
Yeah.
I was off my waypoint.
Yeah.
So remember that. You know, if you're fishing a spot on a spot, details. Zoom it in so you really are on your waypoint. Because when it's zoomed out, it'll look like you're right on it, but you might be 15, 20 feet exactly. off of it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The detail. I mean, you really kind of have to start to focus on details now, because it could be the difference, like you said, between a fish here, a fish there, and then you sit on top of them and just load up.
Yep.
So this time of year, we're slabbing. We're using glide baits. We're using,
blade baits. We're using all kinds.
Just totally dropped off, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what
vertical
we're using.
Vertical is our presentation. We're going more and more vertical.
That's right.
Yeah. So, tape the game and watch it when you get home.
That's the hardest part, man. Is I think we're gonna stink this year. So that we.
No, he's talking about the Denver Broncos, not the Minnesota Vikings.
Whatever.
Boy. So anyway, I think you're gonna stink this year too.
Hey, we're gonna wrap this one up. Thanks for listening to us.
Let me thank you for Case Keenum. By the way.
And share.
You're welcome.
And sharing us.
Yeah, share us, everyone.
We appreciate that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, we appreciate everything, and we're doing pretty well with people buying shirts and hats and stickers, and it's pretty awesome. So go look, you guys. We got a ton of great stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as we talk about the stuff that we have, we have a whole line of sweatshirts, hoodie, crew neck, that's perfect for these fall times. Come order a sweatshirt. We'll order it. We'll get it done up, and we'll get it sent out to you.
Yeah. No. So from everybody here, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube. Or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.